for listening to the Rivers Podcast. For more information on this teaching, visit our website at theriver.info.
This year, 2018, we're going to spend most of the year in the Gospel of John. Let me teach you some big words if you like words. If you don't like words, you can ignore me right now. Here's a big word for you. Exegetical. Say exegetical. As opposed to eisegetical. Say eisegetical. Exegetical preaching is what we want. Exegetical preaching is when we look at the word and we get out what is in the word for us. Exegetical. That is the preaching that the River will always have, as long as you pray for me. And when was the last time you prayed for your leaders, by the way?
This morning.
Who said that? Thank you, John. Follow that man's lead. Eisegetical is when we look at the word and we read into the word our own stuff. That's not good. You see, we want the teaching of the River to be shaped by the lens of Scripture. We don't want the Scriptures to be shaped by the lens of humanity. Do you understand? Preaching will always be exegetical here at the River. It usually, here's another word for you, it usually is topical. That is to say, I usually stand up here and say, you know, we put some time in prayer, and I really think God wants me to talk about this topic, and we use the Scripture to get at a topic. For most of this year, we're not going to be teaching topically. We are, here's another word for you, going to be teaching expositorially. Say it to your neighbor, expositorially. Now, expository is different than suppository. If you don't know what a suppository is, I'm going to give you good advice right now. If you have your device, Google image. And then show the people around you. Expository preaching, which is not suppository preaching, it is to go verse by verse. And so when I began studying the Gospel of John, I've done it many times, but for the umpteenth time getting ready for this week, I had no topic that I was trying to uphold. Rather, I jumped into the text, and I let the text tell us what the topic will be for the day. Somebody say, not suppository, but rather expository. Now, let me give you a little information. For those of you who are kind of history buffs, or those of you like, you know, gaining knowledge, here's some of that for you. See, when a preacher preaches, he does two things. Hopefully, he informs, and by the power of the Spirit, he transforms. Here's some information for the transformation that will come maybe in a few. The information that I want you to know as we begin the Gospel of John, that it was written by John, the son of, anybody? Who said Zebedee? Way to go. The son of Zebedee, the fisherman, John, wrote the Gospel of John. He is the only of Jesus' original 12 disciples to die of natural causes. You might know that the first of the 12 to die was Judas. He hung himself after he betrayed Jesus. The other 10, every single one of them, died a martyr's death. We know Peter died upside down on the cross. We believe Thomas in India was beheaded. All of the disciples, except for this guy, died a martyr's death. He died of old age. And I wonder, you know, he was the disciple that the Bible reveals as the one that Jesus loved. Now, Jesus loves all of us, right? But sometimes those whom Jesus loves, which is every one of us, sometimes the one that Jesus loves actually loves him back and spends a little extra time with him. And so on his end, he received more love, not because Jesus wanted to love him more than others, but because he put himself in a place to be loved more than others. Are you tracking? And I'm wondering if because he was the one who put himself in a place to be loved a little more than his peers, I wonder if that blessing led to the fact that he was the only one who lived a ripe old age and died an old person. This book, the Gospel of John, was written somewhere between 80 and 90 AD. 80 and 90 AD, let's call it 85 AD. We know that it was written while he was serving as the bishop of the Church of Ephesus. We know that soon after that, he really angered the local ruler, and he was banished to the island. Anybody know what island that he was banished to? Yeah, the island of Patmos. He lived his life as an exile, chilling. How'd you like to be exiled to a beach the rest of your life? Sipping out of a cup with a little umbrella. This is how he died, in exile on the island of Patmos. Now, here's another big word for you. It's not one of the, here it is, the big word, synoptics. Now, if you're under the age of 10, I want you to say synoptics. Yes, synoptics. If you're over the age of 10, I want you to say synoptics. Our 10-year-old said it better. Younger people, 10 and under, teach the older people how to say synoptics. Go ahead and say synoptics. Well done. Synoptics, the synoptic gospels, how many gospels are there? And what are they? You're just learning all kinds of things today. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are the four gospels. The word gospel means good news. They're all eyewitness accounts of people who watched Jesus as he walked planet Earth. The first three, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, are called the synoptic gospels. You don't have to remember any of this. This is just fun trivia if you want to know. The synoptic gospels, biblical scholars believe that they either A, got together and shared some of their memories, and therefore they wrote their gospels, although separately from one another, they wrote in collusion with one another. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very similar in what they have to say. Some would say, by way of theorizing, that the synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke, had another source which has been lost. We've never found it, and they've called it the, anybody know? Who said Q? Smart person over there. They call it the Q source. So some people say the synoptics had this thing out here called the Q source, and they read it and said, oh yeah, I remember that. Let me write that in my own words. And the other said, oh yeah, I remember that. And then we write. So the synoptics, very similar. John is not one of the synoptics. Although it does not contradict anything in the synoptic gospels, they kind of go this way in telling about the life of Jesus. John goes his own way, and he rounds out the gospels beautifully. It's been said that we see the heart of Jesus most clearly in the gospel of John. The gospel of John will tell us that God is, or Jesus is fully God and fully human. So as we go through this teaching, this series on John, and it might take us all year. I tried to lay out the first chapter of John, just one chapter, and I got us through mid-March, just getting through one chapter. Now, I don't know if we're going to stay that, so I don't know, but for now, it just might take us a while. But you're going to learn a lot about Jesus. Now, here's the deal. I know some of you kind of, how many have a hard time sitting still and focusing? Yeah, man, you're tough. Way to be in church, because sometimes it's hard. I'm so thankful for a worship thing where you're allowed to jump and move around, which, by the way, you are allowed to jump and move around in worship, right? Jeez, when I'm teaching, you're allowed to jump and move around. Just do it not too distractingly. That'd be great. If you have a hard time focusing, and it's tough for you to sit for long periods of time, let me just take the entire Gospel of John and sum it up this way, and then you can sleep the rest of the time. In fact, I want you to help me teach you what the Gospel of John is really about. Are you ready to help teach yourselves and your neighbor about what John is about? Are you ready? Yes. Somebody say, me, me, me. Here it is. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. But he is strong. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Sing it, balcony. Yes, Jesus loves me. The Bible tells me so. Well done. Give yourself a round for that. Well, you guys did great. If you would like a little more on the Gospel of John, here it comes. And to begin teaching from John chapter 1, verse 1, I need to go back to the 1980s hip-hop scene. How many of you remember the 1980s hip-hop scene? You guys remember LL Cool J and Run DMC? And high-top Adidas with the tongue sticking out? Y'all remember that? And in the 1980s hip-hop scene, a phrase hit America. which swept planet Earth. I want you to turn to your neighbor, and in the 1980-ish, hip-hoppiest way possible, I want you to turn to your neighbor and say, word. If you're on the floor down here, I want you to look at the balcony and just kind of give him a head nod and say, word. Return the favor, please, balcony. Yeah. Word. Did you know the phrase word in the 1980s hip-hop scene came from a 1986 funk and R&B and hip-hop song titled Word Up. Word Up. By a group known as, anybody? Cameo. Who said Cameo? My word, we got some trivia buffs today. Cameo. Cameo, 1986. And Cameo, I don't remember this part. Larry Blackman and Tommy Jenkins made up the group Cameo. And in their 1986 song, Word Up, they introduced to America and literally the world the phrase word. Now, I typed in my computer there. What does the phrase word mean? You just can't do that, by the way. It kind of removes the cool factor. But according to Wikipedia, it means I agree. But it just doesn't sound as cool to say, I agree. It sounds better if you say word, right? And so 1986 is when the word swept planet Earth, right? 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 Well, okay, there we go. Maybe, you know, sometimes when you love a song or something, church people will say, amen. It means literally, I agree, or may it be so. I think from 2018, we need to get rid of that, and we just need to be a people of the word. All in favor, say? Like it. Word. Now, here's the deal. The phrase word, it came from 1986 song Word Up, right? Not word. Not word. Did you know that the phrase word predates 1986? Did you know that the concept of word goes back to the very beginning of time? And did you know that in the Gospel of John, the disciple whom Jesus loved, the disciple who wanted everybody to know that Jesus loved them, he began his book 2,000 years ago, long before Cameo was even around, with the phrase, in the beginning was the, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Word. In the beginning was the word. And the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. Word. We learned three things about this word that predates Cameo's 1986 hip-hop song. In the very first sentence, we learned that the word was in the beginning. We learned that the word, secondly, was with God. And we learned, thirdly, in just the very first sentence of the Gospel of John, the third thing, that the word was God. Now, it gets very clear as the Gospel moves on. But if you just pick up the Bible and you read, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, it's confusing. In fact, I used to hear people say to people who are newish to the faith, hey, what book in the Bible should I read? And they would say, the Gospel of John. Now, I get the sentiment because it talks about the loving Jesus, right? But how confusing to somebody who picks up the Bible for the first time and says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God? What is that all about? So if you're new to the faith, we'll walk you through this because you need to learn about Jesus. But if you want to read the Bible on your own, I recommend like 1 and 2 Samuel because that's where battles happen and swords are swung and cool things happen. And you'll learn how God interacts in real life. But we'll walk together through this. So it becomes clear later, but just looking at the first sentence, I need you to tell me, what's the word? Who's the word? It's not a trick question. A couple of you answered it right. Who's the Word? The Word was at the beginning. Jesus was at the beginning. Jesus was with God, and Jesus was God. So at the very beginning of the Gospel of John, we see that Jesus ain't just another good dude.
Word.
The Gospels begin with the reality that Jesus is fully divine. And so if you're wondering, what is Jesus? Let me begin right here where the Gospel of John begins. Jesus was at the beginning. Jesus was with God, and he was God. And it's not accurate for us to simply say he was a good guy, because the Bible portrays him as fully divine. Jesus didn't become at the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. He was with God, and he was God. He was equal to God. And yet, because the Word talks about Jesus, the Word, being with God, we learn something that Jesus is distinct from this God who becomes known as Abba. Although he is God, he's not the same as the Father. Isn't that confusing? So smart dead people, who I like to study, tell us that this is the beginning of a doctrine or a belief system that's found throughout the Scripture, where the God is fully united into one being with three distinct parts. And somebody tell me what that is, that doctrine's called. It's the beginning of revealing God as Jesus and the Creator, the Father. Now, we'll get to this later, but what's the third part? Who's the third part? Yeah. So don't be mistaken. Jesus, my friends, is fully God. He's God. Word. You know what I know about words? Words are the things that God chose to speak of at the beginning. Jesus, the spoken word, it reminds us of the first words at the beginning of the Old Testament. The earth was formless, Genesis chapter 1, and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. Everything was just blah and messy. But the Bible tells us the Spirit of God, the word there is pneuma of God, which also means the breath of God, which also means the Word of God, was hovering over the waters. So Jesus was hovering, and creation happened. So we know that the Word was with God, was God. He was at the beginning. But we know, because of the Scriptures, it tells us that the Word was the place where all life came from. In fact, John himself says it this way: through him all things were made. Without him, nothing was made. And you see in John chapter 1, connection to Genesis chapter 1, the Spirit was hovering and life happened. Now, let me just do a little Old Testament study with you real quick. So God's Word, the Spirit, the pneuma, the Word of God was hovering. The word hovering that's found in Genesis chapter 1, verse 2, it connotes. And when's the last time you used the word connotes? Here's your assignment, people. You need to use the word connote one time this week. Do you accept your challenge? Thank you. The word hovering connotes ongoing action. So when we read in Genesis chapter 1 that the Spirit of God, the Word of God, was hovering over the formless void and he spoke the world into existence, we see that God's ongoing presence is that which sustains planet Earth and all life within. Let me say it this way. God didn't speak once at the beginning and it happened. God continues to speak and it's happening. Let me say it this way. If the Father would stop speaking, life as we know it would end. This is what John is getting at. He says, through him all things were made, and without him nothing was made. Because of Jesus' ongoing activity on planet Earth, there's life. There's life. Did y'all hear that? Because of Jesus, way back then and now, there's life. Word. Word. You know what else I know about words? They is needed for communicating. I mean, I guess you could communicate a bit without words, right? But it's kind of hard. I mean, what if I got up here and decided, you know what? I'm not going to use words in today's teaching. We need words. It's by no mistake that John introduces Jesus as the Word. Jesus is God's way of communicating with humans. Maybe plainest put, simply put, the Father uses Jesus, the Word, to communicate to people. And so what do we learn about the Father when we look at Jesus? We learn that He is for us, not against us. He wants for us long before He wants from us. What do we learn from the Word about the Father? What is He communicating to us? He's saying that He wants us to have life and have it to the full. Word. Well, Jesus is the Word. Word. Let me say Word. Let's just jump ahead to verse 14. Can we do that? The Word became flesh. And this is where we begin to know they're talking about Jesus. Christmas. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son. This is Jesus. This is why we know the Word is Jesus. From the Father. This is why we know God at the beginning is the Father. Full of grace and truth. He came to live among us. So the beginning was the Word. It establishes Jesus as fully God. And I'm telling you, our messed up lives need something fully divine to set us free. But what Jesus does is He understands, because He was also fully human. And so being fully God and fully human, He can say, I understand. And I've been there. And so in Jesus, the Word who dwelt among us, we learn that God divinely entered into humanity and came up with the only human solution for the human problem of sin. And it was Jesus. The one who Paul speaks about, the one who knew no sin became sin so that in Him we might become the children of God, the righteousness of God. Jesus, the Word, fully God, fully human, fully perfect, fully human. The Word. I got a question. Aren't you glad that the Word dwelt among us? I mean, maybe some of you don't know. Maybe you're like new to church, understand? That's okay. See, every other world religion, you check them out. Every world religion that believes in a God has humanity striving and working to please God. This thing called Christianity, it's the only one where God comes down to the humans and says, you don't got to earn anything. I will bridge the gap between me and you. It's the God who dwells among us. Now, if you're a thinking person, you need to examine the things of Christianity. You ought to study world religions. But if you're a thinking and rational person, I don't know why you would choose any other. Because only in this Word is there life that's a gift, as opposed to life that's an effort. In the beginning was the Word. Well, here's what I'm seeing here, friends. Can I let you in on my secrets? Can you guys keep a secret? No. Plug your ears then. At 11:18 on January 7th, at 11:18, I just finished half of my sermon. However, my mama didn't raise no dummy. And that half of my sermon just became the completion of my sermon. And so, you know when I said that John might take us a year? We'll see. Maybe 2 years. 15,000 years. I like that. That's great.
Thanks for listening. For more information, check us out online at theriver.info.